answer this morning. Let's take our Bibles over to Matthew chapter 5 this morning, and I want to read some scripture there from what we call the Sermon on the Mount, and bring you a message. I felt like the Lord laid on my heart a few days ago. Appreciate all of you coming this morning, all of you that are visiting. Sure is good to have Sister Kerr with us down for the day, and it's a blessing to have her with us, and all others of you that may be your first time visiting, I don't know, you make yourself at home. And I hope we can say something or do something that'll be a blessing to you today. Matthew chapter number 5 contains some of the scariest verses of Scripture. One way you know this modern-day Christianity isn't right is it leaves out all the scary parts. Everything's all positive and upbeat, and everything's wonderful. You're going to get rich and never get sick. And, I mean, that'd be nice, but they got it wrong. We're not going to have all that until we get to heaven. There's some scary scriptures in the Bible. That's why the Bible is the most loved and also the most hated book in the whole world. There's never been a book about which there's been as much controversy as the Bible. And I want to read some of the most controversial words that were ever spoken by the most controversial person that's ever lived. People say, well, oh, so-and-so, they're too controversial. There's never been a more controversial person than Jesus Christ. Never been a man caused more controversy than Jesus Christ. Look at these sobering words in verse 29. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 29. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. Here the Lord was saying, no matter what you got to do, you do it to keep from going to hell. No matter what it costs you, you pay it to keep from going to hell. No matter what you've got to give up, you give it up to keep from going to hell. I want to preach this morning on the subject, why people go to hell. Why people go to hell. We don't like to think about it, but right below your feet this morning, several miles down in the center of this earth, a fire is burning. It's blistering, burning hot. It never lets up. It never goes out. It never quits burning. It never decreases in intensity or degrees. It's burning right now. Sometimes we forget about that as Christians. We gripe and grumble and complain and forget about what God saved us from when He saved us from hell. Let it hit you this morning. 53 times in the Bible mentions hell. After death, there's millions in hell this morning and millions more on their way. And we're not going. I'm not going. I'm thankful for that this morning. If God never done nothing for you but save you from hell, He done more for you than you could ever deserve. Why do people go to hell? You'd think if you could open that wall up right there and there was nothing but a lake of fire from here to Glen Alpine, just bubbling up and fire burning and people rolling on top of each other and biting and screaming and pulling hair, you'd think, I don't want to go there. I'm never going to go there. I'll do whatever. Why do people go to hell? I'm going to deal with that just for a few minutes this morning. If you're here and not saved, if you don't know that you're going to heaven when you die, Christians, please pray that that person, whoever they are this morning, will walk this aisle, get in this altar, and get saved this morning. My burden this morning is that somebody will be saved. I'm going to give you four little quick things this morning. Well, I've been preaching a long time, and I've dealt with people under about every situation and circumstance you can imagine. I've heard about every excuse there is. And there are basically four things that cause people to go to hell. People don't want to get saved. And these are the four basic reasons for it. I've thought about this a long time. And I've talked to literally tens of thousands of people. Preached to, there's no telling. I don't know how many people I've preached to. Especially on the radio and in the day that we're living in, by the internet and all this stuff nowadays. There's no telling how many millions of people I've even heard our voice and the radio preaching and stuff like that. Basically, there's four things that keep people from being saved. The first thing I want to say is this. This is very simple, but you know people that are in this category that I'm going to mention. The first one is people think that they have to give up too much. You know anybody like that? You know anybody that thinks, I want to get saved, I want to go to heaven, but I'm having all this fun, and I'm going to all these parties, and I'm doing this, or I'm living like this, and if I get saved, deep down I know I'm going to have to quit all that, and I don't want to. People go to hell because they think they'll have to give up too much. The devil convinces them that they are having so much fun. Now, I'm not going to stand up here this morning and deny the fact that you can have fun out in the world. I mean, you know, we might as well admit it, you can. There's a lot of things out there that's attractive. There's a lot of things. There is pleasure in some of the things out there in the world. But it don't last, and it don't satisfy. And it gets old real quick. And the next thing you know, you're having to find something else, and then something else, and more, and more. Everybody who starts out on drugs, everybody who starts out smoking pot, and then first thing you know, to get that same rush or that high, you have to go to something else. And then maybe something else. Start out with just one little drink or a couple little drinks. And as years go by, it takes a little bit more and a little more often. That's the way the devil works. He's always making you think, and then you think, I can't give it up. I can't give it up. Sin gets a hold of you. Alcohol, drugs, any kind of sin. Perversion, sexual sin, money, the love of money, the pride, jealousy, envy, any of these things just get a hold in a person's life, and the next thing you know, they think, I can't get saved. I'd have to give all this. I know people that are like that. I was preaching one time down Bohickory in a tent revival, and I was preaching this revival, and I don't usually do this, but for some reason that night, there's a fence around back where the back of our church is, around, and they had a tent set up in the lot, and I was preaching in a tent revival. I preached that night. I was given the invitation, and as I gave the invitation, I saw a young man back there on the outside with his hands on that fence. He was standing back there looking at me like this. And for some reason, I turned the service over to the host pastor. I walked back to the back, and I walked up beside that guy, and I said, hey, man, why don't you go get saved? And that young man, probably about 18 or 19 years old, he looked at me and he was shaking. I mean, God was all over him. I've never seen anybody more under conviction. He's just shaking like that. I said, come on, I'll go down there with you if you want to get saved tonight. Get saved this evening. He said, I can't do it. I can't do it. And I hardly ever do this, but I looked back at him and I said, there's something you don't want to quit, ain't there? And he looked back at me and said, yeah, they are. And I said, smoking pot, ain't it? And he looked back at me and said, yeah, it is. And I said, you mean to tell me that you're not willing, I mean, going to burn in hell forever and ever and ever just so you can smoke pot for a few weeks or months or a year? And he said, I just can't give it up. I just can't. I've had people tell me, I've sat down and looked at people in the eye and said, don't you want to get saved? And they'll say, well, Brother Danny, yes, I do. I said, ain't you scared of going to hell? Yes, I am. When I wake up in the middle of the night, I have bad dreams. I fear going to hell and screaming and burning in fire. Yes, I'm scared of it. And I said, what's getting saved? And they say, well, me and her are living together and we're not married. And I know if we got married or if we got saved, then I would have to leave this woman or she would have to leave her boyfriend or whatever. And I always tell them the same thing. There is nobody on this earth worth going to hell for. There is no husband, no wife, no boyfriend, no girlfriend, no drug, no party, no nothing worth going to hell for. There ain't nothing worth going to hell for, people. There ain't nothing worth going to hell for. I believe we need to get the scales dropped off of our eyes and open our eyes this morning and get a fresh glimpse of people screaming in hell. There is nothing too much to give up to keep from going to a place like that.
One old guy got on TV and they wrote a song. They said, "In heaven there is no beer. That's why we drink it here. In heaven there is no beer. That's why we drink it here." One old country music singer got on and he said, "There ain't no whiskey in heaven. I won't want to go there." I thought, "Well, you retard, there ain't none in hell neither. You think you're going to get down there and drink beer? I mean, there ain't no whiskey down there either. You're going to have to give it up either way. There ain't no beer in heaven or hell. You better drink all you want now, because you ain't going to get none in either place." I'm telling you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, I don't care what you have to give up. I don't care who you have to give up. I don't care what you have to let go of. It's better than going to hell when you die. Amen? People think they have to give up too much. Let me say secondly this morning, you know why people go to hell? People are afraid that they'll be criticized. There are lots of people who will not get saved. And the reason they won't get saved is because they've sat at lunch at work and they've heard people talk about other Christians. And they've heard them run down churches and talk about preachers and everything. Well, they say, "Listen, if I don't want them talking about me like that, if I don't want to get saved," they're afraid they'll be criticized. I've preached a lot of youth meets. I'm going to be doing one this weekend down in Georgia. There's several churches coming and bringing young people. We may have 300 or 400 people there Saturday night. And I have seen young people stand in the pew. I've seen God start moving and conviction start settling in. And I've seen people start going to the altar and crying. And I saw teenage girls stand in the altar or on the pews like this and grab a hold of the back of the pew. And they start to move out and they look at the one beside them. And the one beside them, and I've seen them talk, and doesn't say no like that. And the younger girl usually will back up like that. Usually if a girl's like 14 or 15, and then there's one standing there 17 or 18, that older girl will influence that younger girl. Now, if that older girl, she hits the altar, that younger will be behind her just like that. I couldn't tell you. I've watched that thing hundreds and hundreds of times. You young girls, you know, the first thing you can do is start hanging around with a bunch of girls a few years older than you. That's real wicked. You know why? Because you think they're cool. You think they're smart. Really, they ain't no. They're dumb as you are. They're just a little bigger. And listen, did you know something? I've seen people standing there and look at one. You going? No. You going? No. You going? Y'all go if you'll go. I'm going to tell you something, buddy. If you put my foot in the fire this morning, you held my foot down in that fire for 2 seconds, I wouldn't care if everybody in Morganton laughs at me. I don't care if everybody thinks I'm an idiot. It don't matter if they think I'm a fanatic. You say, "Well, please, Lord have mercy, people laugh at you, they all preach on the street, and you're up there screaming and all. Let them laugh, man. Let them laugh. I'm not going to burn when I die. And no, sir, buddy. My mama didn't raise no fool. I don't want to go to hell when I die. I want to go to heaven. And by the grace of God, I am going to heaven." And you can go to heaven. You can go with us this morning. You don't have to worry about being criticized. Can I tell you something without hurting feelings? You say, "Well, Brother Danny, they'll talk about me." I hate to say this, but they already talk about you. You know good and well that them women over here at Southern Divorces, where some of y'all work, or over here at some of these factories, and some of these plants, and some of these, you know how they'll sit around. You say, "Boy, you know what she thinks? She doesn't think she, I mean, I don't know how she's losing all that weight. I bet she's going to a doctor. I bet she's all that. She wears too much makeup, I think. And I think, you know, that." And then she walks up and you hush. Are you honestly dumb enough to think when you walk away that they don't say the same stuff about you? Yeah, they sure do. No, they don't talk. Yeah, are you kidding? Y'all talk about everybody else? They talk about you. Everybody talks about everybody. I know it's that thou hast said things about others that you shouldn't. Amen? I'm going to tell you something. People are going to criticize you if you're rich. They're going to criticize you if you're poor. They're going to criticize you if you got a nice car, if you drive an old beat-up car. If you got a nice car, they're going to talk about you. They're going to talk about you if you live right. They're going to talk about you if you live wrong. If you live right, they're going to say you're a hypocrite. And if you live wrong, they're going to say you're sorry, good for nothing, you know, and all of that. Listen, they're going to talk no matter what. They talked about me before I got saved. They talked about me since I got saved. And Mama told me, she said, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can't hurt you. I'm telling you, it hurts your feelings sometimes, but let them talk. I'm not going to hell just so people won't talk about me. Amen? Listen, if criticism could hurt you, skunks would be extinct. They wouldn't be none. Nobody ever says nothing good about a skunk. Have you ever heard anybody say, what a cute little skunk? I mean, I'm going to take it home. No, sir. I mean, it's all bad juice, skunk. I mean, it don't bother them one little bit. I mean, they just keep right on doing their own thing, living life and having fun. They don't pay no attention to you. And I'm going to tell you, when it comes, I know people that won't come to the altar because they're afraid people will talk about them. I know guys, I know grown men that won't get right with God because them friends they run around with, we'll talk bad to them, say, I heard you was a fanatic. I heard you was henpecked. I heard you had religion. I heard you was overboard. Let me tell you something. Let them say what they will. Let them think what they want. Let them run their mouth all they want to. One of these days when I'm standing over here on the side of the Lord and I'm safe and I'm happy forever and ever and ever, it will not matter what people think. People think they'll be criticized. Amen? Bible said, woe unto you when men speak well of you anyway. Number three, you listen? You listen? You know why people don't get saved? You know why some of you here this morning are on your way to hell while I'm preaching? It's because you think you can sin and get by. People think they can sin and get by. But if there's one thing this Bible teaches from front to back, it is be sure your sin will find you out. Even in this world, you reap the terrible consequences of sin. Somehow or another, you think you're smart enough to slip through. Somehow or another, you think, I'll escape judgment. Somehow or another, you think the wages of sin is for everybody else except me. You know what? I've given this illustration before. You see that battery? I can hold that battery right here like this. And I can let go of it. It goes down. What about that? Thing went down. And it rolled around over here. I can hold it up here again like this. Let go of it again. It went down again. Isn't that something? What a coincidence. I can hold it up here. If I do that 10,000 times, you know how many times it'll go down? 10,000. Just as that gravity pulls that thing down, that's just how sure every time you sin, you guarantee it's going to come back to you one of these days. Guarantee. There's no getting out of it. Now, God forgives sin. God washed away in the blood of the Lamb. But there's always reaping. There's always consequences. There's always a price to pay. And people think, well, I can sin and get by. Nobody's going to tell me how to live my life. I'll do what I want to. Listen, we see that poor little Britney Spears. You've seen her on the news this week. Oh, listen, she was took to church when she was little. She knows the right way. And all she's doing now is reaping the consequences of sin. Of that lifestyle and drugs and all that promiscuity and all that stuff. I'm telling you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, you reap what you sow. You will not get by. You hear me, young people? You will not get by. You think you can go out and put drugs in your body and not pay price for it down the road? You're wrong. It'll come back to you. It will come back to you. You think you can go out here and party and live it up? Listen, you go out here and mess around and sin. You don't know who you've touched, who's touched you, what kind of disease might be in your body. There are always consequences to sin. You cannot sin and get by with it. People think they can sin and get by. Elvis didn't. We talked about Elvis the other night in church. No doubt his life was shortened by sin. No doubt. John Belushi didn't. Marilyn Monroe didn't. John Lennon didn't. George Harrison didn't. You do not get by with sin. People think they'll get by with sin. Number four, and be last this morning, I'll say this and I'm through. You know why people go to hell? Listen. People go to hell because they think they've still got plenty of time to be saved. People go to hell because they think they got plenty of time. If everybody in this church thought this is the last service you'd ever be in, you talk about a difference. You wouldn't be talking. You wouldn't be looking at your watch. You wouldn't be fiddling with your cell phone. If you thought this was the last service you'd ever in, son, you'd be saying, Brother Danny, I know I'm saved. I need to go to the altar. I need to do some praying. I need to forgive somebody in my heart. I need to get caught up on stuff. I need to make something right with somebody. You need to get saved this morning. If you thought this was the last service, I'm going to tell you something. That's why people don't get saved. They think they got plenty of time. They think they got plenty of time. They think, I'm healthy. I've never felt better in my life. That's famous last words. I've never felt better in my life. They forget how uncertain life is and how certain death is. You hear people all the time. Heart attacks, dying on the highway, car accidents, all the time, all the time. The Bible said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. The Bible said, thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You don't know when it'll be your last day. You don't know when it'll be your last chance. You don't know when it'll be your last opportunity. You don't know when their heart's going to beat for the last time. I know there's people that are in perfect health. I told you young people before about that girl I read about. She's about 14 or 15. She was in training to be an Olympic runner. And this girl, she could run, man. I mean, she was going to run in the Olympics. Run long and fast and was in perfect health. She went and stayed with her grandmother one summer out in the Midwest. And they said one day, she came in, she said, Granny, I've got a headache. She said, oh, honey, take you some time off something, go upstairs and lay down. She said, Grandma, my head is hurting. This girl was a runner. This girl was in perfect shape. This girl had nothing medically wrong with her. And she went upstairs and laid down, took something for a headache, and her granny went up there to check on her a few hours later, and she was dead in that bed. And she died of an aneurysm, a blood vessel busted in her head. That can happen to anybody, anytime. It doesn't, I don't care how much vitamins you take, doesn't matter how many times a week you go to the gym, we are walking time bomb, people. Any minute, I heard about a preacher in the pulpit like I am. He's coming around like this, and he said, I have one more point to make. Fell in the floor just like that. I heard about a lady who came to church one Sunday morning, went out of the church, sat down on the church bus, and died with a heart attack on the church bus. I'm telling you, there is nobody in here guaranteed that you're going to be alive by the time service starts tonight. And people won't get saved because they think that they've got plenty of time. You don't know how much time you've got left. God might have laid this message on my heart for somebody being your last service here today. This may be your last chance. You listen to me? This may be your last chance, boys, girls, young people. This may be your last chance. You better do business with God. You better settle up this morning. You better make it right. You better get it right. You're going to burn in hell forever and ever. You ain't going to get out. You ain't going to get another chance. You're not going to come back and reincarnate and try it again. You'll never get another chance. You better get saved this morning. That's why we take this thing serious. People think they got plenty of time. I heard about this woman. You've heard me give this illustration. It's a true story. Her and her little girl were driving down this country road on their way home a few years back. She came around a curve like this and saw something laying in the road. She thought it was a deer. And as she got closer, she could tell it was a person. It was a body of a human being. And over here there was a truck off in the ditch and the body of a young man laying out there in the middle of that road. She got out, took her little girl by the hand, walked over there, and there laid that young man in the middle of that road. And she said, are you all right? And she said, that boy looked up at her and he had blood on his face there where he'd wrecked that truck. And he was on there and he said, don't let Daddy find out. Don't let my Daddy find out. That boy was drunk. And he wrecked his truck and he's laying there in the road And the woman said, well, son, we're going to try to help you. She held a little girl over here. She began to try to pull him out of the road. And then she couldn't hardly get him. He's so drunk he couldn't walk. And she began to pull him out of the road. And when she said about that time, a car had come flying around the curve. And it got closer and she screamed. He screamed. She didn't have no choice. She had no choice but to grab her daughter. And she picked up her little girl and run like that. And that car run over him like that in the bottom. You know, got the muffler and everything up underneath. Just caught him and had him drug him up about 30 feet up the highway. Killed him just like that. Dead kids, gone! And the last thing he ever said, the last words that he ever spoke, was don't let my daddy find me like this. Don't let him find out. Don't let them find out. There was young people went out and partied last night. That's in hell this morning. There's been people fall into hell from North Carolina while I'm preaching this morning. And never, ever, 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 ever going to get out. You may be here in your last time. I'm serious. I'm not joking. People don't get saved because they think they've got plenty of time. You don't know how much time you've got. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. You know why people don't get saved? People don't get saved because they wind up in hell because they think, you hear about that bad stuff happening to other people. It ain't going to happen to me. You might be the very next one in line. Why people don't get saved? They think they got plenty of time. I want you to stand with heads bowed. I want nobody moving. I don't want nobody walking out of this building. I want everybody to stand up and bow your head and close your eyes.